Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
You bring me close to your
Good evening, everybody. This is Dr. Shirley Kinniff, General Manager of WSCIRO. We are doing part two of Faith Talks Live Prayer, and the topic being, Are You a Polished Mirror? I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Kinniff. We just got back from our other jobs. Yes, we did honor the Lord today, the Lord's Day, but we do work too. That's just the reality of the times that we are living. We wish we didn't have to do that, but we work for the vineyard. We work for the harvest, and then we have to go and also serve the general populace. So, we're back now. Today was so hot. When we were doing our broadcast earlier today, it was pushing 90 degrees, very, very humid, and we are broadcasting live from New England, and I just want to say hi to our Facebook friends, and God bless you, and also to our YouTube friends, and and our Twitter friends as well. I believe we also use the Seismic tweet. I like Twitter, but they are different. but similar. And so we just want to just offer this show up to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, our comforter, our friend, our lover, which is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, the third person of the Trinity. They share that as well. Anyways, I'm here with my husband, and I just want him to say hi to you before we continue on in this broadcast, and maybe he can offer up an evening prayer as we are going to go into further ministry into those areas that we had talked about in the previous broadcast. And here he is, Dr. Jeff Kinniff.
Hello, Lord Jesus, we thank you, and we praise you, and we offer up our hearts and minds and souls as you offered your body, your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your spirit as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Father that redeems us and frees us from all our sins. We thank you, Lord, and we glorify in your name, that we will live and praise you all the days of our life, no matter what may come, whether adversity, blessings, and peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for glorifying your name, which is the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was from the beginning, and is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff, and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being here for us, even when we feel deserted, when we feel we don't deserve you. You're here anyway, because you are so faithful. You are so merciful, like the song says, merciful, merciful God, you are. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, we lift up this time to you, and we ask that you would just take us by the hand as we walk through this most delicate ministry of inner healing, specifically inner healing for those who have been afflicted in their life either as victims of sexual abuse or the perpetrators. And the one of them and the same. And the victims, you know, when you are a female for the most part and you've encountered or sexual abuse has been visited on you by a perpetrator, two things can either happen, that, you know, and statistics have always pointed to the females that have been afflicted that probably about 80% of the time they will enter into relationships or situations where they are victims because of the conditioning, you know, that they received, you know, before their first 5 years of their fifth year of life. The other thing is that oftentimes, you know, there could be promiscuity, which will lead females that are victims into prostitution, or in the case of what's happening now, childhood sex slavery at a very young age, especially with this kidnapping involved, other not so good circumstances. They're not good at all, but, you know, the worst of the worst. If you're a male and you've been sexually abused, it could be, depends on who did it, they could open up, in both cases actually, sometimes, more like a choice in the area of alternative lifestyle. And where, you know, especially if the victim is the same sex, there will be, you know, more of a choice or related to someone of the same sex as far as relationship, choice of relationship. The other thing, too, is that, you know, there can also be, it seems like statistics do say that most males that have been sexually abused before a certain age will go on to be some kind of perpetrator. But the roles are changing now that society's changed. And it could 20% of the females also do become perpetrators on some level. But, you know, these statistics are just statistics. But the bottom line is that the Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to use all the business on restoration, restoring the innocence that was stolen by the enemy, working through human beings, working through victims or previous perpetrators, you know, victims that have either, you know, been assaulted themselves or people that are perpetrators. He wants to heal once and for all, and usually you know, a behavior that is not a fraud in this area usually is the result of the fruit of what actually happened to the individual. And trauma, for the most part, is the vehicle of that propels the person to respond or receive in kind. And so, you know, nothing is too horrendous for the Lord to heal, okay? And as we, before we go further into this particular ministry, which the Lord was telling me based on the part one, you a polished mirror, part one, we went into the scripture parts of why, we are a suffering humanity and what we're called to do. And we really delved into 2 Corinthians, Romans 2, James 1, and I believe that, and Matthew. My husband had actually quoted scripture from Matthew. So far, my suggestion is anyone who just came on here right now, just listening live, once you receive this archive, we encourage you to go to part one of Are You a Polished Mirror, because that will give you the biblical grounds for the ministry that the Lord is going to impart today in this broadcast, okay? Let me begin by reminding people and there's probably a new group of people, that, you know, I have been a victim of sexual abuse for years. From, you know, not now, but when I was little, from the, you know, I think I was, I the first encounter was, you know, right around, I wouldn't say between 2 and 3 years old, and then 5, and then, I'm sorry, 2, 3 years old, and then 7, and then it just kept, as you know, seems like every, it would escalate 16, 7, 12, until I, you know, I had to leave the house, you know, and, but it was just so incomprehensible. So, you know, why it happened, these things had happened to me. But I was so afraid to go to the Lord, because I just felt like God couldn't take it. But as I received a healing, went through various inner healings and deliverance, I began to understand the mercy of God in all this. I began to understand that He was with me when I was going through this, and that He had a future glory in mind as to how it was going to be used to help set others free. But I didn't understand that as I was going through the inner healing. I, you know, kept on persevering, because perseverance does bring you much closer in an intimate union with the Lord. And so as I got closer to the Lord, He began to unfold different things. And we had other broadcasts where, you know, He took me behind the veil. And that's another broadcast. And He began to show me how He received the offerings of all the needs at different ages. And I thought it was quite honorable the way He did this, because He did this for me when I was sleeping in my dream life. I had a vision within a dream. And I was watching television. I was watching television of heaven. And God is just so grateful. You're grateful. So this is how I'm able to bring this forward to people, as to how you can also walk in that victory, to whether you, your victimization allowed you, you know, it brought you to that promiscuous side of life, and or whether, you were catapulted into the perpetrator part. And this is what brought me to a piece about this, and this is the healing that I actually received, that I no longer am appalled to even speak about this, and how people can have victory in this, okay? The Lord says no sin condition is too horrible for His blood, because His blood did it all. And the Father wants, to engage in this ministry of comfort and compassion. He wants to heal, He wants to transform, and He wants to set people free. That's His job. That's His job description, for His people whom He loves, who He's first called by name. I just want to go back to 2 Corinthians before we go on further. We're going to pray. We're going to read some scripture, and then we're going to go into some prayer. We're going to see what the Holy Spirit doing, and then
the time is 10 o'clock p.m.
We're going to wait. Thank you, Rose. And then we're going to go into communion. And we're going to, the Lord showed me that because of the wounds of anybody that's hearing this may not be at the same place of healing that my husband and myself have been at, that as we talk about this, it does open up wounds, further wounds, and what we want to do is offer all these wounds up to the Lord through communion. So at some point, maybe once this broadcast is archived, feel free to get your communion elements and, of wine or grapefruit juice or near wine and some bread, or if you have unleavened bread. Offer, we will ask for the Lord to bless them, and we will receive this offering as, coming unto the Lord. We will present these offerings to the Lord so the Lord can become. come into those areas and offer you the healing and reconciliation that you would need to continue on in your transformation. Okay, so this is also what God is about ready to do. Okay, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Treasures in jars of clay, all right? And then we're going to talk a little bit about what the Apostle Paul, you know, was saying to the Corinthians about when someone falls and how, you know, in the attitude, the proper attitude of that a believer or a minister should, you know, have for those who fall. Because we let's face it, most, it seems like most problems in the Western Church have always been, you know, in the area of fallen ministers who fall through divorce or through, you know, sexual unfaithfulness because some other issues were not resolved in their life. And the Lord is really wanting teams of people to really grab hold of what it is, you know, that they need to do to, you know, encourage people in these areas, but not to you know, go ahead of the Lord in this, but to ask for wisdom and guidance. And I was actually praying before the Lord, you know, when he put on my heart to do part two of this project, I was saying, well, Lord, you know, you just talked about so many different things, and, you know, I just wanted to give them enough to chew on, I feel like there was something still that needed to be unearthed, and he was showing me that my people need to understand, like they understand in the corporate world, you know, at their jobs. They need to extend, and they need to understand how teamwork, you know, foreign teams, teams of inner healing. You know, we've got it down right when we have conferences, how we have teams of people, you know, giving conference, but we need to understand the role of teams, the utilization of teams in inner healings, especially of this nature where, you know, people, you know, when ministers of the word become ministers, become pastoral authorities, they should be able to formulate pastoral teams and commission people that work intricately with people that have these issues because, you know, if we don't continually have intercessory prayer teams specifically for these kinds of issues and weaknesses, it goes uncovered and it remains covered. It remains covered, and it remains covered, and there is no basis for further inner healing because of, you know, it remains covered under the mantle of shame. That's what I wanted to say, under the mantle of shame by both the leaders that don't want to look at this, and also the people that need inner healing in this area. So, you know, and the thing is, the Lord is saying that we are jars of clay, okay, that we have treasures inside. And it is all about unearthing the treasures that are inherent. But, you know, you got to get to that jungle, you know, of humanity to get to that. So, you know, this is how we can do this. You know, I see a team coming together in the spirit where that can address, yes, you know, through biblical counseling, the emotional needs, not in condemnation of the individual, you know, now what, you know, also temperament therapy, you know, what, you know, how does how an individual needs to understand themselves as far as their temperament is concerned, and how the leader needs to understand the individual, how the team needs to understand the individual, and also, you know, somebody that's appointed as intercessor, you know, and also one that understands the ministry of inner healing, of taking the thoughts that are captive, you know, in that individual, looking into those four areas of ungodly beliefs that, you know, they believe about themselves and others and God, and also how far does that thing go into the ancestral life, that life of the ancestors, how far back does that go? And also, you know, if there's any occultic involvement or any kind of spiritual ritual that, you know, is part of these like in the area of SRA, satanic ritual, these different things like that. You know, that whole, there needs to be someone in that realm on the team that would help with the, you know, breaking free of the demonic strongholds. So these are the different areas in which a team can actually help come around these individuals that need this kind of ministry. But there, to see, there's a lot of people undeveloped as leaders that can even that can't even handle that. But you know, but in a team, you know, when you get together, a team ministry. And, you know, you can also put dream interpretation, because a lot of times people have nightmares, and, you know, but, you know, and the Lord wants to give them wonderful dreams, but they have to go through that dark night of the soul, you know, to get to, you know, to get that person to, you know, finally accept the fact that Jesus wants them healed, and he loves them anyway. You know, he loves them. He wants to love through them and walk them through to a better place in him. Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful way. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man, to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves to your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death, for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. And that's what we want to get people who have had this degree of suffering. We want to get them to the place where the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus within them, the kingdom of God, is constantly propelling them towards a greater transformation, that they are not stuck in the muck of their, especially within the confines of their soul. We want to get them from soul to a more of a spirit way of living, and, you know, and understand that for people who have been victims of this kind of abuse, it is so hard because there's the shame, fear, and rejection stronghold. That many leaders also looked at that as the Jezebel, you know, it's behind the Jezebel spirit. But, you know, the shame, fear, and rejection strongholds are the strongholds that oftentimes follow people people that have been victims of abuse, and it's nothing that they chose for themselves, see. So we have to recognize that as leaders, as people in pastoral ministry. It seems like most of the world right now, the Lord is uncovering these injustices in the spirit of a person's life. Large groups of people are coming forward from different walks of life. And it's just something that we as a body need to look at, need to pray into, and need to be opened as to how the Spirit of the Lord is going, you know, it wants to move through ministries who are open to this. And this takes courage on the part of leaders who do not want to look at it. And maybe it's because leaders need they need to receive healing in some areas that they are not looking at. And that's not to say that, you know, they have been victims of abuse, but maybe they know somebody who has. And even knowing someone who has, even when you're a child, okay, when you're a child, you know, your best friend or Johnny down the street or, you know, Paul around the corner, you know, someone who was a victim of abuse, and you saw the suffering as a child, you know, as a child observing a peer that was abused, and it had an effect on you, and, you know, and it caused some kind of, you know, disconnection, major disconnect, because it was just too traumatic to observe, to know that someone that, you know, like yourself, you know, has gone through this, and nobody was able to be there for them. You know, many times people, they have that kind of memory, and that could also just be, you know, because you know somebody that could have been, or that was, you know, abused, or even mentioned that they were. You know, that alone can be traumatic. That knowledge in itself. And it leaves that void, you know, in your humanity that I wish I was old enough to help them, or I wish I was, you know, they didn't have to go through that, and, you know, and things like that. So, you know, it really, really suffering, it's just kind of, this degree of suffering is actually designed to bring everything to the cross, so that there could be a resurrection. And we talked about that in the previous broadcast. Okay, I'm just going to go further into this scripture. Yes, we just thank you, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to just come. And we ask you, Lord, to open the ears of this so they may hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Yeah. Yes, we break old chains and strongholds, old mindsets. We thank you, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Okay, we're going to flip open to 2 Corinthians 5. And we are going to look in, we're going to look more closely at the Apostle Paul and the ministry of reconciliation. Okay. As it relates to restoration in this. And then we're going to pray more into this kind of ministry. And also we're going to offer up communion. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men what we are is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, and I'm sure that he's using pride in a different way, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is not for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. But Christ's love compels us, like I talked about earlier, Christ's love compels. The suffering compels Jesus. He compels us to actually persevere so Jesus can come on in there. He was always there. All right. So, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all. He died for all these sins. He died for suffering. He died for restoration and reconciliation of all men to the Father. Okay. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal to us. We implore you on behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Whoa. I want to take a look at forgiveness for the sinner, because that's where we're going with this. There's so many times that, especially victims of abuse, you know, abuse on any level, but specifically sexual abuse, they don't feel worthy of any kind of forgiveness, even if, you know, it was not their fault. You know, most of the time it's not. It's just a plot of the enemy to get us distracted. But it says, I just want to really, really hone in on this grief response to this kind of abuse, okay? It's, God wants to do something. He wants to do something real deep, okay? He didn't bring me into the deep waters the other night. You know, I might as well talk about the dream before I go into this. Yes, if you've listened to the first part of our talk, Are You a Polished Mirror? I spoke about a dream that I have had recently that the Lord had given me, and I'll just reiterate the dream again. I had been actually meditating on the throne room encounters, Joshua Mills CD for like a whole week, and it just seemed like God was doing something deep in my spirit on the, you know, in the area of dreams and visions. So anyways, it was nothing that I prayed. It was just something that he was doing as I was soaking in his presence. And so I had a dream two nights ago where, and I wasn't even thinking about the ministry that we're talking about right now to victims of sexual abuse. But then after I had the dream vision, the Lord brought me back to that. So anyways, I was in the dream. I was standing on the earth, and the Lord, by his spirit, was lifting me up, and I started flying. And I have flying dreams every once in a while, but I'm usually in an airplane or something. But I was flying myself. I was like, how am I doing this? And I knew it was the Spirit of the Lord that's lifting me up, lifting me higher and higher and higher. And then it seemed like I was flying over different land mass, and then one of the things was water, flying over water. But the strange thing about this water was that it was not your average turquoise water or blue water. Or, you know, in the case of Ireland, and when I went to Ireland, it wasn't green water. It was dark water, you know? And I thought, well, the only thing about dark water is that there's nothing good in dark water as far as, you know, I mean, from the last time that I thought about dark water, you know, but spiritually it means something different. So anyways, I'm fine, and she, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just tips me up like that. And I'm like, he gets me in this diving position to dive into the water, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to survive. I don't want to go into the water. As I was thinking and saying that in my brain, the Holy Spirit just, you know, I'm like, all right, Lord, anything you want. And then I'm getting, I'm going in the water, and next thing you know, it's the kind of water that I can breathe in. And so I realized, okay, this is definitely of the Lord. I have nothing to fear. I can breathe in this water. I'm not drowning. And so he brought me to the very, very deep, the very deep depth of the water. And as I was going into the deep depth of the water, you know, what was coming before me, what the Lord brought before me in the water, was it was like an underwater town or city of these people that, you know, he said, you know, were people that were overlooked. Overlooked people that, you know, were cast aside, people that were just forgotten, the forgotten people. And what they looked like, you know, was like homeless people that I will see, you know, in everyday activity on the earth. And some of them had, you know, they didn't have the best faces in the world, downtrodden, and you know, mush faces. And I'm trying to explain this in the best way I know how. And rotten teeth, and they were just so, you know, they didn't take care of themselves. They didn't have any kind of light emanating from the being that would cause a glow to come upon their face, and different things like that. And they were just like muttering, you know, mumbling, you know, things that you didn't quite understand. Maybe they didn't quite understand. And the Lord is saying that they were afflicted by a deaf and dumb spirit, brought on by the spirit of fear. Fear was a vehicle. And that a lot of these people came out of situations that we have talked about, you know, where they were victims of abuse. And a lot of them were also, you know, once following the Lord, they were on fire. And when these issues came forward, people forgot about us. They stuffed them behind closed doors. They talked people out of, you know, supporting them in ministry, you know, for themselves, and also discourage them from having them come go into ministry, and different things like that. So you know, they just kind of disappeared within themselves, and, you know, became isolated and open to the deaf and dumb spirit, and, which anesthetized them and numbed them. You see where I'm going with this. And so these are the forgotten people that nobody cared about anymore. And, you know, and I started feeling so down myself for them. And I'm like, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? I said, if they're afflicted by these spirits, we need to take authority. Can I take authority? I asked him. He said, yes. You know, so, you know, I took authority, and, you know, the spirit of deaf and dumbness, we broke the power of that, and also we tie and bound the spirit of fear. We cast that out in Jesus' holy name. I say we because I know I don't do this by, you know, it's not in my own power. It's in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in my cooperation with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I plead the blood, and then light started coming to this underground town, which actually permeated the beings of these people, and then I woke up, and then I woke up from the dream, but I had a burden for these people that were afflicted, and also for these people that were afflicted, but you know, I had a burden to call leaders forward that would not be afraid or ashamed to work with people that have fallen because of unresolved issues in these areas. And so I'm going to, on that note, I'm going to go to back to 2 Corinthians 5, through verses 5 to 10, okay? And it says right now, right here, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put it too severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him. Okay, so he's saying that when anybody falls, you know, and brings grief to the body, it's, you know, there is some degree of punishment, but, you know, it's not supposed to carry on. All right? It's only for, it's not even, bring abuses, I don't want to say abuses, a cast out attitude. It's for people to pray, like, you know, when you, with a person, when there's a knowledge of a person that fell because of certain things, there is a period in the restoration process, there is a period of time where you bring that person to Jesus, and it, you know, and you step aside, and that person, this person is encouraged to get with the Lord, okay? And then there's supposed to be a mentor at some point, but the mentor is supposed to guide into this kind of process. So only for a certain time period, because if it's longer than usual, then the heart gets numb, then it gets callous, then the person gets, away from the love of the Father and more into condemnation, okay? So it says, now instead you ought to forgive and comfort him. Okay, so this is the role of the leader. This is the proper attitude that we should take in a pastoral role. It says, now instead we ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Because excessive sorrow can anesthetize people to numbness. Okay, I know what it's like. You know, I've been there. I've gotten to the point of numbness in, you know, relationship with other people that have afflicted me, or and also I got into that numbness with God. Like, where are you? I'm just, you know, that's it. You know, that kind of stuff, and then invites everything else. You know. But anyways, I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him or her. The reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And Paul has that same response that the Holy Spirit that Jesus has. You know, this is the authority that the Lord gives us from heaven. You know, this resource, you know, if we forgive, then he can forgive, you know. Because if you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. Okay? So that is a nutshell. That's a nutshell about forgiveness. But really, what really stood out that I never saw this before. I understood it in my heart, but I never saw it spelled out plainly in Scripture. Is that now instead you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. And we have to guard that. We, as parents of our own children, we have to, you know, guard against being over concerned in our discipline for our children, being, you know, getting overly disciplined to the point of harshness, because, you know, it's going to drive them to that brink of sorrow where we may lose them. You know, I'm talking, you know, as a parent who was raised 4 children, who they're all adults now, but, you know, I had to guard that in my heart a lot of times. You know, I had to ask the Lord for guidance in that, the area of discipline, because I didn't want the same thing to happen to them that happened to me when I was younger, as far as over the overuse of discipline, and you know, which resulted in a low self-esteem. So, you know, we just want to just, you know, offer up the rest of this broadcast, and we don't have too much time. We're not going to go so into this, but we're going to take, before we go further into this ministry, I am going to take a little break with a song that will minister to this area. Wow. How about conscious agreement? I think lots of times we need to understand how the Father sees us and how He wants a relationship with us, and we don't need to be making excuses of both. First of all, who should be forgiven and who should not be forgiven, or how long we need to make them feel bad, and also at the same time, you know, as you know, people that are in need of healing, we don't need to make that those kinds of excuses to come to agreement with, you know, what the status quo is, you know, especially in the area of healing. Okay, so let us go to Ram, which I think is, and Roots as well. You know, it's called coming to agreement with God.
Oh, we bless you, Lord. Just lift the eyes of your heart upon His face. There it is. Let His gaze ravish you. Truth of His word touching your heart. That's what we mean by the kiss of His mouth. Song of Solomon says, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. That's the word of the Lord touching your heart with the truth of what He's saying about you. Yes. Sing over them, Father. Prepare your child bride. Increase upon them now. There's an increase coming right this moment. Just breathe it in. Let it come deeper. Dry places of your heart, fearful places, becoming soft and tender. Weary places with the oil of gladness. The ashes of mourning replaced with beauty, that bridal headpiece of beauty that designates you as His very own. Open the eyes of their hearts, Lord. Oh, Father, send your Spirit that they, being rooted and grounded in the knowledge of your love, may grow up into all of the length and the breadth, the height and the depth of the love of Christ, the Bridegroom. Agree with the Father's assessment of who you are. The King seats you at his table, and shame falls away, for you gaze upon his face night and day. Radiance comes.
Okay, well, I think that was it for that. And what we're going to do right now, my husband's going to prepare the communion right now. Yeah, come on. Okay, communion. Okay, he was soaking. Anyway, what we are going to do is we're going to offer up all what we talked about and what we prayed into from part one and part two, our polished mirror. And, you know, we are made in his image, and, you know, but we, as we behold the face of Jesus day in and day out through worship, through just being open to his voice and his work and to the Holy Spirit in our lives, we always want to be in that place where we are being transformed in our body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion, from glory to glory, from grace to grace, as we acknowledge our weaknesses before him and allow Jesus to become our strength and our weakness. And so, Lord, we just want to ask that you would just, in a very special way, specifically, children, adults that were victimized as children in the area, especially in the area of sexual abuse, that Lord, that you would go into that area that this abuse had created, that weakness that this abuse had created within them, that, Lord, that you would be their strength and their weakness, that you would deliver them from the harmful effects of what was visited upon them, and, you know, when they did not have full awareness of who they were and you and self, and also have that the self-control that the Holy Spirit gives. We also ask for a restoration of innocence at whatever ages these people of God have suffered these atrocities. I also want to lift up in a very special way, Lord, all those children that have been kidnapped in the sex trade. Some of them have been, they, you know, were not able to survive it. But they were all, the others are right now currently being pawns of human trafficking. We ask, Lord, that you would go into those regions with the angels, with the archangels, with the legions of with the legions of holy angels to combat the legions of the enemies and demons that are behind us. And we ask that right now, Lord, that you would just lead in this battle, and you would also raise up your holy emissaries that, you know, will go out and to the trenches to get these children, these emissaries of, in the spirit, that are prayer warriors that are driven by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and power and love, and also in strategic intercession. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're about ready to do. We ask that your kingdom will come into these situations right now. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I feel your presence for this. Thank you. I feel your heart, Lord, for this particular petition. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we know it's all about your love and nothing else. It's all about your love. Your love for man. Bring them in a greater way, closer to your heart. Thank you, Lord. And so we just want to offer up this Holy Communion for their deliverance, for the transformation. In the case of people that have already been walking in healing, for continued transformation, for continued healing, for continued restoration, so that they may receive in totality the fullness of glory. We thank you, Jesus. The fullness of their inheritance and sons and daughters of you. We thank you. We are contending right now for sonship. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come into this situation. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us, and forgive those who participate in these trespasses, and forgive those who do this evil. Thank you. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Thank you. As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, into the temptation of judgment, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of yours now and forever. And we just take the blood of Jesus to cover these situations, cover these people, cover your beloved who have been victims of these atrocities, cover them in your blood. In Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise. Well, we are at the end of this broadcast. But this is not the end for your transformation, for your restoration, and for your reconciliation. It is the start. Okay? It's the start for leaders who are called to this kind of ministry, and it's also a new beginning for those who have received, okay, received this gift of restoration, transformation, and reconciliation through what Jesus did 2,000 years ago as we come face to face with him. So we're going to leave with face to face by Ruth Fizell to really come to that deep place of intimacy. And I just wanted to correct earlier on, I mentioned that Graham Cook with Ruth Fizell coming to agreement. He was actually on the other track called The Nature of God, but we want to go to face-to-face. So we're going to leave with you just coming face-to-face with Jesus in that place of intimacy. Okay.
All my heart's desire. Mm-hmm.